If it seems like the only phone calls you get are robocalls, you have plenty of company.
Press 1 to get a hassle-free assessment, or press 2 to be placed on our do not call list.
您有一封重要文件尚未领取，如有任何疑问，
and to return the call before we begin with the legal proceedings against you. Thank you.
These are just a few of the robocalls I've gotten, and I'm sure you have gotten your fair share as well. Robocall Index tells us in June there were 4.4 billion calls placed in the U.S., a whopping 6 million calls per hour. Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel has joined other state attorneys general in working with the FTC, trying to stamp out pre-recorded telemarketing calls with an effort called Operation Call It Quits. Adam Dupe is an assistant professor at Arizona State. He studies cybersecurity, has co-authored a paper on robocalls. Adam, so good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Cindy. I'm very happy to be here.
So I want to be very clear what we're talking about. We hear terms like robocalls. We hear spam calls. Is it the same or are there differences?
So, yeah, these are kind of umbrella terms where the key idea is these are phone calls that people are making through automated means. So they're calling your phone using some phone list that they've gotten, and they're using automated systems to place calls to your cell phone and your landlines. And that's why they're able to do it at such a large scale.
Boy, and that's true. So there may be a person on the other end of that call, or it may be a recording, but it's basically they're using this automated way of getting through to you.
Exactly. So what they can do is when they detect that somebody picks up, they can route you through to a real person, and that way they can call more people. The other thing that they can do is they will wait until you actually interact with the system, so they can have the recording, say, press one to talk to an agent. And as soon as you press one, then they'll connect you to a real person who will try to probably scam you, depending on the nature of the robocall.
Well, indeed, indeed. So, for instance, my husband got three automated calls yesterday, purportedly from the government, demanding his Social Security number. What are some of the greatest hits, some of the most common calls and scammy pitches going right now?
Yeah, so there's the two main areas I always like to think about. One is in terms of financial institutions where they're trying to scam your credit card number, because that's something that can be monetized by criminals. They can make a fake credit card with your number and try to use that at various places online and also in person. The second major area is in terms of impersonating the government to try to get your Social Security number. So this could be through IRS scams or just general impersonation of scary government. The one I'm getting a lot of is not paying student loans that is coming through. So, and really the criminals are trying to get at that information that can be repurposed and sold.
And when we say these criminals, how much do we know about who the people are behind these robocalls, and especially where are they?
That's a great question. And I think the real answer is we don't know. And this is one of the really interesting things about this area is there hasn't been a lot of research into the ecosystem behind robocalls. So who is actually behind these calls? And oftentimes with the use of technology, these criminals can reside in completely different countries. So they're kind of outside of the reach of the U.S. jurisdiction.
Speaking of crackdowns, I've got to imagine efforts to go after these scammers and these automated calls are complicated, because not all automated calls are bad. I mean, we get them to remind us of snow days at school or doctor's appointments or hair appointments, and that sorting out the good from the bad has to be a real challenge.
Right, exactly. And this is why we kind of face why we're in this situation is the phone companies. So theoretically, they could take action against robocalls and automated calls and try to block them, but they're known as what's called a common carrier. So they're kind of legally obligated to deliver any phone call that comes to their network and to not discriminate because of all these reasons that you mentioned. Like, do you really want your notification for your medical appointment to show up as a robocall and get blocked and you'll miss that message? Like, there are legitimate reasons for having automated calls. So it's not necessarily that automation is the problem. It's that people are using these systems for essentially nefarious purposes.
The FTC and state attorneys general, including Michigan's, have committed to cracking down on these robocalls. They've joined the FTC in Operation Call It Quits. What does cracking down on robocalls look like? And as you think of the technology constantly evolving, is it even possible to crack down on them?
Yeah, that's a great question. So really what we try to think about when stopping robocalls, I think there needs to be kind of a multi-pronged approach. And one of the best approaches is to use legislative means, so to increase the penalty. So as of now, the FTC doesn't have very much in terms of the way of teeth as far as going after these criminals. There's only a certain amount of low-level fines they can lay, when really what they're trying to do is increase that so that the penalties can be more steep. Now, then that becomes the problem of how do you go after these people who are outside of the U.S. jurisdiction? And that's where we need kind of technological means to try to combat this problem. And there's a number of technological proposals who are trying to, this is one of the key ways that robocalling can work, is they can spoof the caller ID number that shows up on your phone. So that this way, even if you tried to make a great robocall prevention system, you won't be able to deploy it because you won't actually know where that call is coming from. So how do you know that this actually is a robocall?
Oh, I know what you mean, because when I get the ones that start off like my cell phone with my area code and my first few digits, and I know, and I block them every time, and they keep coming, because you're right, they shift a digit.
Exactly. So these are called neighbor spoofing. And the idea is to trick you to answer the phone. They use a caller ID that's very similar to yours. And I think it's very important, because this is a problem that's really affecting all of us every day. And it's a small, if we're not falling victim to this, we think it's maybe just a small nuisance. But people can fall victim to these scams for hundreds or thousands of dollars. People don't realize necessarily, especially vulnerable populations, that the U.S. government or the IRS is not going to call you directly and demand payment.
Who is most vulnerable to these calls?
Yeah, so what we've seen as far as the FCC reports and the complaints is we've seen a lot, these robocalls target really sensitive demographics. So it's particularly the elderly get targeted, and immigrant populations. So even at universities like at ASU, what they'll do is they will call phone numbers around that area, because these are students who are here on a student visa. They don't necessarily know that the IRS isn't going to call you and demand money. And they're terrified of losing their visa status, so they'll oftentimes comply with that. Similarly, the elderly population, they kind of grew up in this age where a phone rang and you picked it up, right? It was an important call. So they have this kind of inherent trust in receiving phone calls. So they're more likely to fall victim to these kind of scams.
You know, when you think of what can we do, we as the person holding that mobile phone, getting the call, to protect ourselves, I know getting myself on the National Do Not Call Registry meant nothing, because the good companies obey it. The scammers aren't obeying that. What can the average person do in terms of protecting ourselves?
Right. And even worse with the Do Not Call list, not only are the scammers not obeying it, they actually use that list to feed their phone numbers. So they use those phone numbers on that list, because for them, what they're trying to do is find real people behind phone numbers. So if you put your name on the Do Not Call list, it means that you are actually at that phone number. So they have a person they can try to scam. So one of the main things to do as a consumer is to protect yourself and to learn and educate yourself and others that a phone call coming in can be spoofed. It could come from anywhere. So if, let's say, your bank is calling you and they're asking for your Social Security number, your credit card number, you should immediately hang up, call them back on their designated 1-800 number on the back of your credit card, because that can't be spoofed. So they can't intercept your phone call going to them. You have to be vigilant, not believe what they say, and kind of call them back to verify.
It's been a great talking with you, Adam Dupay, who's an assistant professor at Arizona State University. Thanks for joining us on Stateside.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Cindy. Take care.